Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're, we're diving into something that's both, fascinating and kind of creepy.
Oh, sounds intriguing already.
Right. We're talking deep fakes, those videos where AI makes it look like anyone's saying or doing anything.
Or deep fakes. Yeah, they're getting unbelievably realistic.
Exactly. And that's why this deep dive is so important. We're looking at a master's thesis. It's by Sayantan Das. He's at Queen's University up in Canada.
Okay, and what's this thesis all about?
Making deepfake detection more accurate, like seriously accurate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as deepfakes get better, we need ways to, actually spot them.
Absolutely, that's crucial. We need to be able to tell what's real from what's fake, especially online.
Right. And Das, he has this two-pronged approach I thought was really cool. It's like, imagine a detective, right? Mm-hmm. They're examining a suspect, but they're doing it from two totally different angles.
I like that. Two perspectives are better than one, especially with something as tricky as deepfakes. Totally. So part one of Das's system, it zeroes in on like each individual frame of the video. It analyzes all these tiny details within each image. He calls it the spatial aspect.
So like if you freeze framed a video and then went through each snapshot looking for any little hint that it's been messed with.
Exactly. Now, part two of the system, this is where it gets really cool. It analyzes how things move over time in the video. It's the temporal component, and it can catch those little glitches in motion that our eyes might miss.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, in real life, our movements are fluid. Deepfakes, even the good ones, sometimes have these weird little hitches in how, like, a person moves or their face changes expression.
Precisely. So we've got these two parts, right? Spatial and temporal, working together like, like a crime-fighting duo or something. But here's where Das gets even more clever. Both parts of his system use this powerful AI called vision transformers. Ever heard of those?
Oh, yeah. Vision transformers. They're getting a lot of attention, especially in computer vision. They're amazing at understanding what's in an image.
Right. But Das doesn't just use any vision transformers. He trains them on data sets that are specifically, like, all about faces. There's one for still images. It's called Celebe, which, you guessed it, tons of celebrity faces. And then there's one for video. It's called YouTube faces.
That's smart. By training them on faces specifically, it's like he's giving those vision transformers a crash course in all the little details that make up a human face.
Exactly. Instead of, trying to teach the AI about everything in the world, he's like, nope. Focus on faces. That's what matters for deepfakes. It's like sending your detective to facial recognition school.
Haha. Love the analogy.
Yay.
So what kind of results did he get with this face-focused training?
Hold on to your hats because they're impressive. His system is achieving state-of-the-art performance on, it's a benchmark data set for deepfake detection called FF++. And get this, not just on the high-quality version of FF++, but also on this, like, super compressed, low-quality version they made to really test it,
Wow, that's significant. It means this system could work on videos that aren't perfect quality, which is, let's face it, most of what we see online.
Exactly. Think about all those videos we see online. They're, compressed, the lighting's not always great, people aren't using fancy cameras. So a deepfake detector that can still work well, even with all that, game changer.
For sure. It means the tech is getting closer to actually being usable, in the real world to help fight against deepfake spreading.
It does. So maybe you're wondering, what does it actually look like when this system is analyzing a video? Does it like flash a warning or something?
It's not quite that dramatic, unfortunately. What happens is the system makes these things called embeddings. Think of them like numerical fingerprints that the AI creates for each face in the video.
Numerical fingerprints. Okay, that sounds interesting. So what happens to those fingerprints?
Well, both the, the spatial and temporal parts, they make their own sets of fingerprints. And then the system compares them, looking for any differences or inconsistencies that might scream deepfake.
Mm.
It can even analyze like tiny changes in facial expressions, those micro movements we talked about that are really hard for us to see.
So it's like having this super detective with like microscopic vision and a sixth sense for fakery. This level of detail is mind-blowing.
It really is. And the fact that it can do all this in real time, like analyzing the video as it's playing, that's even more impressive. Just imagine, this could be used to flag potentially fake videos as they're being uploaded online.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. But I'm curious, how does this two-pronged approach actually make things more accurate? Is it just because it's looking at more stuff?
It's not just about more information. It's about the right information. The spatial part is great at picking up those tiny visual clues in each frame, while the temporal part is all about the inconsistencies in movement and expressions over time. Combining them gives you this, like, super thorough assessment of whether the video is real or fake.
Like having two expert witnesses backing each other up in court, it makes the case against the deepfake so much stronger. And that thing about working on low-quality videos, that's huge.
Definitely. This approach is a real breakthrough. It's not just some theory. It's something that has the potential to be used out there in the real world to help us deal with this whole, you know, messy digital landscape.
This is all fascinating. I gotta admit, though, I'm really curious about how these vision transformers actually work. They sound kind of sci-fi. Like, what's the magic behind them being so good at deepfake detection?
They are kind of complex, but I think I can break it down. Basically, vision transformers are a type of neural network, and they're designed to process visual information in a similar way to how our brains do it. They can look at images and videos and pick out those meaningful features and patterns that we might miss.
So they're like brainy detectives looking for clues that are invisible to us. But how do they like learn to do that? They're not born knowing how to spot a deepfake, right?
Right. They need training. That's where those data sets we talked about come in Celeb A and YouTube Faces. By showing the vision transformers thousands or even millions of real faces, researchers can teach them what genuine faces look like and what makes them different from fakes.
So it's a learning process, like an apprenticeship for AI detectives.
Exactly. The more examples they see, the better they get at spotting those telltale signs of a deepfake.
Like, they're building up this giant mental encyclopedia of faces, but instead of words and pictures, it's all algorithms and data.
You got it. And what's so cool about vision transformers is that they can learn to recognize these patterns even when they're super subtle, like things we'd never notice.
This is all incredibly insightful. I'm already starting to see how this could make the internet, you know, a safer, more trustworthy place.
Me too. It's exciting to see how research like DASA's is really pushing the boundaries of what's possible with deepfake detection.
Okay, so this has been a fantastic deep dive into the accuracy side of things, but I know there was another big part of DASA's research that we need to talk about, and that's fairness in deepfake detection. I have a feeling things are about to get even more interesting.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. Accuracy is just, you know, part of the picture.
Yeah.
DASA's thesis, it also goes deep into fairness in deepfake detection.
Okay, and I gotta ask, what do we even mean by fairness when we're talking about, like, spotting deepfakes?
Well, think about it this way. Imagine there's this deepfake detector, right? It's really good at catching fakes of, let's say, people with certain hair colors. But with other hair colors, not so much. That wouldn't be very fair, would it?
No, not at all. It'd be like some deepfakes get a free pass while others get busted immediately. Not exactly a level playing field.
Exactly. And Duss's research actually shows this kind of thing can happen. He found some deepfake detectors. They perform differently depending on stuff like skin tone. And that's a big deal because it means certain groups of people might be way more vulnerable to deepfakes that nobody even notices.
That's a pretty scary thought. So how do we make sure these detectors aren't, like, playing favorites? How do we guarantee fairness for everyone?
That's where Duss's work gets really cool. He developed this whole system called FairAlign. It's just specifically designed to fight that bias in deepfake detection. And it's all about making sure the system focuses on the fakery itself, not, you know, someone's appearance.
All right, I'm hooked. Tell me more. How does FairAlign actually do that? Does it, like, retrain the AI or something?
It does involve retraining, but in a super smart way.
Yeah.
Remember those embeddings we talked about before? Those numerical fingerprints the AI creates for each face?
Yeah, like the AI's version of a mugshot.
Exactly. Well, FairAlign, what it does is it shrinks the differences in how the AI sees faces of different skin tones. It's like saying to the AI, hey, focus on whether it's fake, not on how much melanin someone has.
Love that. So FairAlign's like the AI's diversity coach, making sure everyone gets a fair shot. But does this mean, like, every new deepfake detector has to have FairAlign built in from scratch?
Nope, not at all. That's one of the best things about it. It's plug and play.
Yeah.
You can add it to a bunch of existing detectors, potentially making them way fairer without, like, a total redesign.
That's awesome. Makes it way more accessible. But gotta ask the tough question, does making it fairer mean we lose some accuracy? Like, does detection get worse overall?
That's a really good point, and it's something Duss tackled head on. He found there's sometimes a trade-off. You know, reducing bias can sometimes make the overall accuracy dip a tiny bit. But here's the key. He used these specific metrics to find the best balance. He wasn't going to sacrifice one for the other. He wanted that sweet spot where it's both fair and effective.
So did FairAlign actually find that sweet spot? Like, did it work?
It did. The results are really promising. Fairline consistently beat out the existing methods for dealing with bias, showed a much better balance between being fair and accurate. It's not perfect, but it's a big step forward in making deepfake detection ethical and reliable.
Okay, that's good news. Gives me hope that we can actually build technology that's both powerful and responsible. But I want to go back to those embeddings for a sec. How does the AI even create those numerical fingerprints? Is it measuring, like, the distance between our eyes or something?
Oh, it's way more complex than that. Imagine the AI is looking at a face, right? And it's breaking it down into, like, a zillion data points. The shape of your eyes, the curve of your lips, even how light reflects off your skin, everything.
Whoa, so it's not just features, it's like the whole enchilada.
Exactly. And it does this with incredible precision. Then all that info gets squished down into this code. That's your embedding.
Okay, starting to get the picture here. But then how does it actually see those embeddings to spot a fake?
Well, remember, the system's been trained on a massive data set of real faces.
Yeah.
So it's got this reference library of what genuine embeddings should look like. When it sees a new face, it compares the embedding to its library. If it looks way different, red flag goes up.
So if the fingerprint doesn't match anything in the database, it's like, hold on, something's fishy here.
Exactly. And what's amazing is the system can even pick up on tiny changes in expressions, those micro movements that we'd totally miss. That's where the temporal part shines, analyzing how the embeddings change over time.
So the AI is basically watching the video in slow-mo, examining every little twitch and shift. Wild. But gotta ask, what if someone makes a really good deepfake, one that's almost perfect? Can these systems keep up?
Ah, the million-dollar question. The truth is, it's a constant race. As deepfakes get better, so do our ways of detecting them. But the work people like Dyes are doing, that gives me hope that we can stay one step ahead.
It's not just about fancy algorithms, though, right? It's about making sure those algorithms are used ethically.
100%. We can't forget about the potential consequences of this tech and got to make sure it's used for good, not for harm. That's why what Das is doing with fairness is so important.
Totally agree. Okay, so we've got accuracy, we've got fairness, but there's one more thing I'm super curious about. Das also made this special pipeline for, like, characterizing skin tones in data sets. Why is that important? Does it tie into fairness somehow?
You're spot on. That pipeline is all about making deepfake detection more inclusive, making sure it works for everyone.
All right, lay it on me, I'm all ears.
So one of the trickiest things when you're training AI, especially for stuff like facial recognition or deepfake detection, is making sure the data it learns from is actually diverse, like the real world.
So if the AI only learns from, say, pictures of people with light skin, it might not work as well on people with darker skin.
Exactly. That's why having data sets that accurately reflect, you know, all the different kinds of faces out there is so crucial. That's where Dyes' pipeline comes in.
Okay, so what does it actually do? Does it, like, build a whole new data set?
It doesn't create a whole new one, but it takes existing data sets and makes them way better by adding in skin tone info. It uses facial recognition tech and this standardized skin tone scale to analyze pictures and figure out the skin tone of each face.
So it's giving the AI this deeper understanding of human faces, recognizing that skin tone is a key part of the picture.
Got it. By putting this info into the training data, researchers can make sure deepfake detectors learn from a much wider range of faces, which helps reduce bias, and Andy makes them more accurate overall.
It's like this pipeline is saying to the AI, hey, don't just see faces. See the amazing diversity of human skin tones.
I love that. It's about making sure this tech is inclusive and works equally well for everyone, no matter their skin tone.
This is all super fascinating. Das really deserves props for tackling such a complex issue.
Yeah.
But gotta ask, how does this actually translate to, like, a safer internet for all of us? What are the real world implications?
Great question. I think the answer is in how this tech can be used. Imagine social media platforms could use this kind of deepfake detection to catch fake videos before they go viral. Or news organizations could use it to double check footage before they broadcast it.
So it's like giving those platforms and organizations a superpower, the ability to spot those fakes in real time and stop the spread of misinformation and harmful content.
Absolutely. And think about law enforcement and courts. Deepfakes could be used to create fake evidence, even manipulate what witnesses say. Being able to detect those fakes could be huge GE in making sure justice is served.
Wow, you're right. The implications are massive. It's really inspiring to see how research like this is pushing boundaries and building a more trustworthy digital future.
I completely agree. It's really encouraging to see people like DAS taking on these challenges and coming up with solutions that can make a real difference.
Okay, this has been an awesome journey so far. We've gone deep into how deepfakes are detected, talked about the importance of fairness, and even touched on how to make the tech more inclusive.
It's been quite a ride. Hopefully, our listeners are finding this as fascinating as we are.
Me too. So let's take a quick breather to digest all this amazing info before we jump into the final part of our deep dive. Welcome back, everyone. We've been on quite the journey exploring Sayantan Das's research on deepfakes, looking at both the technical side of how to spot them, the whole ethical angle, which is super important.
It really has been fascinating. Das's work, it shows how crucial it is to build AI systems that are accurate, yeah, but also fair. Like they can't be biased.
Absolutely. And I think, one of the biggest takeaways for me is that we can't just sit around and wait for technology to magically solve these problems. We all have a part to play in shaping how this technology is developed and how it's actually used.
Couldn't agree more. We need to be having these conversations, asking the tough questions,
Yeah.
demanding that AI is built and used in a way that benefits everyone.
So well said. Okay, I know we've been laser focused on Das's research, but I'm curious, from your perspective, where do you see this whole field of deepfake detection going in the, let's say, the next few years? What are some of the big trends or challenges you're watching?
Well, I think one thing is for sure, we're going to see this kind of arms race continue between the folks creating deep fakes and those of us trying to detect them,
Right.
right? The tech gets more sophisticated, so do the methods for catching it.
It's like a high stakes game of cat and mouse, but with AI on both sides.
Exactly. But I also think we'll see more emphasis on trying to prevent deep fakes from being made in the first place. Like, think about things like watermarking or digital signatures that can, help prove where a video came from, whether it's legit.
So instead of just reacting to deep fakes after they're out there, we'll be building in safeguards to make them harder to create in the first place.
Yep, that's the idea. And I think we'll also see more focus on giving people the tools and resources to be, more savvy online.
You mean like teaching people how to spot deepfakes themselves?
Exactly. We
Yeah.
can't just rely on technology to do all the work. We need to educate people about how deepfakes work, what the dangers are, how to identify them, and really encourage that critical thinking when they're, consuming content online.
It's like that saying, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. But in this case, it's teach someone to spot a deepfake, they can navigate the internet safely for a lifetime.
I like that. It's all about empowering people, right? Giving them the tools to be resilient, even as technology keeps changing and sometimes trying to trick us.
It makes so much sense. So we've got this tech arms race, we've got proactive prevention, and we've got empowering individuals. Anything else on your radar?
Another interesting area is, well, how deepfakes are going to intersect with other new technologies. Like, think about virtual reality and augmented reality. They're getting bigger all the time. And that could create more opportunities for deepfakes to be used in ways that are even more immersive and convincing.
Okay, that eye is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Imagine putting on a VR headset and not even being able to tell if the people you're interacting with are actually real or not.
Yeah, it's something to think about. But, those technologies, VR and AR, they also offer solutions. They could be used to make like training simulations where people can learn to identify deepfakes in a way that's, more realistic and engaging.
Oh, interesting. So it's like using the tech against itself, kind of like a judo move or something.
Exactly. We got to be smart about this. Leverage the power of these technologies to develop new ways to combat the challenges they bring up.
This has been such a mind-opening conversation. Das's research and your insights have really like shifted my whole perspective on this whole deepfake thing.
Glad to hear it. It's a complicated area, changes fast, but it's one we have to pay attention to. The stakes are just too high to ignore it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into the world of deepfakes. Before we sign off, any final thoughts or words of wisdom for our listeners as they navigate this increasingly complex online world?
Be curious,
Yeah.
be critical, and stay informed. Don't just accept what you see online at face value. Think about the source, do a little research, and don't be afraid to, double check if something seems off before you share it.
Great advice. Remember, everyone, knowledge is power. The more we understand about how deepfakes work, the better we'll be at spotting them and stopping them from spreading misinformation or causing any harm.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, huge thanks to you for joining me on this deep dive. It's been awesome chatting with you and learning from your expertise. And to all our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We hope you found this episode, informative and maybe even a little bit thought-provoking. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and we'll see you back here for another deep dive.